This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network for focusing our attention on our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, we're focusing on the pros and cons for greeting clients at their vehicle. So the idea for this episode came from an inquiry originating with one of my colleagues. They had read an AI description of how a check-in process would work within a software platform, a very specific platform. And he rightly reached out to me, checking to see if the AI response that he was reading was accurate. It was not accurate. It was pure fiction. I will say it's worth probing a little bit on why this question came in. And what my colleague told me is that he was getting peppered with questions lately from shop owners who more regularly are asking about the ability to do what some people are calling a walkout check-in process or a curbside check-in or sometimes initial inspection process that is performed when greeting the customer at their vehicle. So if this is something you or your team have been considering, I'm going to encourage you to hear me out on this. I'm going to leave you with some, I feel, important questions that you can use to discuss this. If this is a good idea, if this sort of process people have in mind is actually something good for your team or your clients or your shop, or perhaps you will determine it isn't. So today we have a word of the day as always, and our word of the day is stringent. We will define that word for you after a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Did you know the Institute helps shop owners scale to multiple locations? We're the solution for building productivity, profitability, and growth. Learn more at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Are you tired of juggling multiple tools to manage your auto repair shop? Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. With AutoLeap, you can sell more, save precious time, and delight your customers with every interaction. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Okay, we are back and we are talking about the pros and cons of greeting clients at their vehicle. And our word of the day is stringent. Folks, that is an adjective. It means strict, precise, and exacting. Used in a sentence, you would say the process has some very stringent requirements. I like to keep this in mind and I try to pick a word of the day that plays well with the topic at hand. So let's go into it. I'm going to refer to this process that we're talking about of greeting clients at their vehicle. Any form of vehicle side check-in process. Here on out, I'm just going to refer to it as curbside check-in, just for the purpose of this conversation. The idea for this form of greeting a customer is not new, and it can take a lot of different forms. There's a lot of permutations for this, and many of them do not involve an actual curb. So that is okay, but we're going to call it curbside check-in. And there are many businesses that feature some form of drive-up, drive-through service. This is America. We've mastered the drive-through. There's restaurants. You're thinking of all these sort of things. But in our conversation today, I'm going to focus on vehicle-centric businesses. And I think that's important. These are some of the areas where I feel it's more common. And I think it's going to show us plenty about what works and what doesn't when we're greeting clients at their vehicle. So these three areas that I'm going to focus on, the three types of businesses, are going to be dealerships, car washes, and airport car rental returns. Three weird things I understand. No, I am not going to mention quick oil change lanes, not because it isn't potentially relevant, but because I have never used a quick lube ever in my life, literally. My wife had one time. I have a story with that, but I know there's some great examples of quick lubes out there. Absolutely, I know there is. I also know there's some examples where it doesn't go according to plan. We're not going to go there in this conversation. Instead, we're going to focus on where I've mostly had conversations with people myself related to curbside check-ins. And one of the reasons I find myself in conversations with that with my clients is typically one of our AutoFlow clients will reach out and they'll have had a recent dealership experience of their own, a shop owner who had to visit a dealership. Can you imagine why that happens? There are many reasons an independent shop owner does visit our friends at the dealerships, but the majority of the time is when they are confronted with a vehicle recall that they need to deal with. A lot of us have that same experience there. And for the shop owners who did this, it was a positive experience for them and quite nice. They were, in fact, impressed and motivated to think about their check-in process as well. So let's talk about that. The dealership process begins, of course, with pulling into a large, bright, clean, well-lit, multi-lane drive-up queue. I've done this recently. We're presently leasing the vehicle. First time in my life. Fun story on that another time. It's an EV. Had to do it. Had to see what the life is like, right? But we'll talk more on that in the future. But anyway, we're pulling in that thing and this big garage door goes up. You pull in. My goodness. It's impressive. And it can be really impressive. But my participation in this, I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction. I think you'll enjoy it. First off, I do want to talk about why it is so impressive. When you think about the dealership model, they've always had one thing going for them. That is just their key advantage. They have that proximity to the manufacturer, that feel that this is the source of the car. And therefore, when maintaining it, it also feels like the proper place to go. And I'm going to tell you this, folks, dealerships being impressive and having this, that's going to be an important factor here because dealerships sales are getting harder in our current economic climate. And we talked about recently with the JD Power results, a few other things that dealerships are measured and doing well on. What you need to understand is they are focused on expanding their service departments. I've seen a couple in town here by me where there's big cranes out and garage bays are expanding. They are expanding their service departments. No joke. Dealers thrive on that long-standing reputation of being the best place to bring a vehicle. There's many factors for it. They have the best training, the best tooling, the quality parts. All of those perceptions are there for the average person who would maybe not know that the aftermarket has great quality parts. They have often better training in many, many cases. Lots of reasons why the aftermarket can compete directly and toe-to-toe and surpass dealers on all of these areas, but clients don't all know that. The perceptions are there. So you have this new vehicle. It needs service. You take it to the source for you, the place you bought it. And your entry into the facility is as simple as pulling up to this automated door. You enter and it almost feels like your vehicle is on something of an assembly line once again. The vehicle scanned in. You're greeted. The advisor has a tablet in hand and they confirm a few things and then they usher you into a gorgeous waiting area, where you're quite sure you can survive in comfort with enough food and drink to last several days, perhaps while contemplating the latest and greatest new models on the showroom floor. Interesting experience. Hold that in your mind for just a moment. Now let's think about car washes next. Now, my son has managed a local car wash as one of his early part-time jobs, and this is one of the types of car washes that he worked at that offers those membership deals. And they have a relatively complicated screen-based check-in system where if you don't have a membership, it's enticing you to join, right? Frequently, the staff there are greeting customers and helping them through those screen prompts. And of course, there's the guy in the tunnel who's guiding vehicles in. I think it's important to mention that because anytime you're dealing with a client who's operating their vehicle in the place where you're going to be greeting them, you're going to be in close proximity to people operating a vehicle. The general public, very specifically, operating a vehicle. Boy, do we hear stories on that from my son in his car wash hours. So we'll come back to this car wash piece. The last area I mentioned was airport car rental returns. Now, look, I'm traveling a great deal in my present role, and it's why this particular experience sticks out in my mind and with some frequency. I've become quite familiar with the car rental scene, and in particularly that rental time period is where I've had some okay interactions. It's one of the only parts of the process that is almost always completely smooth for me. The actual return sequence. We're not talking about check-in for car rentals. I have horror stories on that. But listen, at this point, there's staff that similar to kind of a car wash or even pulling into a dealership thing, but it's outdoors. Staff are guiding you to a spot. They greet you, ask you how things went. And as you are collecting your things, they're scanning the car back in. It's very efficient. They remind you not to take the key. And they confirm that you're all set, point you to the terminal, and you're off and on your way. Very smooth process in most cases. So I've described three different scenarios, right? We have the dealership, the car wash, and the car rental return. I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to think about this. Which of those three scenes do you think will most consistently generate the best conversations? Best conversations. The dealer lane, the car wash, or the car rental return. Let me tell you from my experience, it's the car rental return. Now, before you disagree with me on this and say, well, Craig, yeah, that's a check out, not a check in. All right, I get that. And it is part of my reasoning for building into this topic this way and starting with this specific question. Conversation is not important to all customers, but for me, it's an absolutely critical part of building rapport, getting to know a client, and making sure they feel great about coming back again. Coming back again. That's where the relationship is truly tested for any business that's going to be at the top of the market. We've talked about this before. A focus on retention is so critical. The top shops in the industry don't stop at one location. At the Institute, we work with shop owners who want to expand. Whether it's opening a second shop, acquiring new businesses, or building systems for long-term growth. Some of our clients are aiming for hundreds of shops, and we're helping them get there. Ready to scale? To get started, visit weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen. Clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. No more headaches, no more wasted hours, just smooth operations and happy customers. But hey, don't take our word for it. Experience the magic for yourself. So what are you waiting for? Head over to AutoLeap.com and book a demo today. Let AutoLeap revolutionize the way you do business. Do it all with AutoLeap. AutoLeap, where efficiency meets excellence. AutoLeap is by your side every step of the way. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. Let me ask another question. What are most interactions like in the dealership lane? Those of you who have experienced this either as an advisor yourself or as a client yourself, think about this. I'm going to tell you from my perspective. For me, they're always rushed. When you're in a place that feels like an assembly line, The last thing people like me want to do is hold it up. Maybe that's just me. And also my wife. We, when we're walking as pedestrians in the streets and we're in a crosswalk, we're the type of people who walk faster if we feel like we're holding up traffic. Well, that's our personality. We both tend to be people pleasers who avoid conflict. But the truth is this, I do not want to make people upset by doing something wrong in a system, whether I'm familiar with it or not. So in the dealership pull-in, I feel rushed and it feels a little awkward. Am I parking in the right spot? There's not really always someone guiding me in. Parking the car, is it? Do I just stop here? There's no line. So whatever it is. And then there's this, because my feeling about the place is really beside the point, but it's worth considering. The client doesn't always know how the process works. Let's think about the advisor in the dealership. What is the advisor focused on, really? Especially since this question on client vehicle side, curbside check-in is typically asked in a digital context regarding software and its ability to do this thing undocked from a desk. We have a tablet in our hand. And with device in hand and prompts on screen, I've observed this multiple times. Any attempt to engage that individual who's focused on prompts on a screen in real conversation is always stop, start. As in, I might have something I want to say, maybe about the symptoms of the vehicle, but I'm not getting the cues from the advisor on if this is the appropriate time for them to receive that information, because they seem very preoccupied with gathering vehicle information, taking a few pictures. It's a process that seems to me, at least in this, my experience, it's focused on the vehicle. It's not focused on me, and it's focused on the advisor and some of the tasks they have prioritized on gathering data or some information during this sequence. Now, could this all have been done by the appointment generator, online forms, and other things? So maybe there isn't as many important things anyways. Maybe they already have all the data that's relevant for what they see as the appointment today. But I'm not detecting a great deal of focus on me, the client, on conversation in general, okay? And that leads to my next question for you. And I want you to raise this question if your team is considering these processes. This question is, what are you hoping to improve by greeting people vehicle side? Seriously. And another question, is it for improving your process or is it for improving the guest experience? I'm going to ask this too. Is your guest experience improved by you being present at their vehicle, tablet in hand? Consider those for a moment, but let's also consider the car wash next. Now, my family shop enjoyed having a car wash just a couple doors down for years. This was very handy. We had a great relationship with them. We'd buy their coupons and all of our customers' cars got cleaned before we gave them back. It was a great setup. They had people in the earliest days, especially, they had people out there with pretty much, you remember this, many of you anyways, and they're just out there with a stack of cash for change and a bar of soap to write on the window, the level of the car wash that you selected. And this was really efficient. They had multiple driveway entries and we would alternate, and it was just a really efficient system. They were great. Today, in most car washes, and I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this, the tablets are dominating the scene, or some other screen-based kiosk-y type of check-in sequence. And the interface on at least the new car wash chains, and which is also one of the ones that bought that car wash near our family shop and that my son worked for, the interface is complicated and it frequently is enticing you to join as a member. It feels like pop-up ads and I'm just trying to select a one-off wash that I want for the day. Maddening. I have things to say about that. But my son working as a manager, I get to hear about this a number of different ways, and this was really insightful to me. He became very aware of that complexity of the prompts on the screen, and there's general consensus that it's kind of too complicated on purpose because it kind of requires you to need help and the people out there. And he consistently became the lead salesman for memberships because he learned to engage clients warmly and help them. He was very skillful in how he greets people. It's a very affirming way. He succinctly guides them to any deals that might benefit them on the spot. And being the affable young man he is, he earned tips regularly as well. But he's something of an anomaly in this. That's not common behavior that you see in some of those jobs. And we see examples of it. You sometimes have people with no personality and they're just going through motions. But the check-in flow, think about what the actual structure and flow of the reason the car washes are designed the way they are. It's designed for efficiency. They get very busy. It's amazing how many cars they can move through there. And that's typically what the system's for. It's about moving cars through a process efficiently. And it's simply efficient not to have people ever leave their cars, tablets instead of people, even though that's obviously not working. Lots of reasons why this is. It's a convenience thing. It's a convenience business. It's not very conversational in most cases in a car wash scenario. And it's rarely relational. You hear us talk about auto repair all the time as a relational business. So, all right, another question here. Tablets and screens, do they actually speed things up or slow things down? We hear this debate all the time just in terms of inspections, but think about it in terms of a actual check-in process. And wow, I'll tell you this, at a car wash, when I'm at that screen, the reason it's such a prominent thing in my mind is I just can't stand it sometimes. I feel like all the pressure of the car is behind me. Now I got to read quickly and there's too many things to read on the screens. Ah, don't care for it at all. Frustration. I don't think I've ever successfully gone through the prompts at the car wash too. Thank goodness every time I've gone there, it's usually I'm bringing my son lunch or something and he'll send me through the car wash. So it's nice that I don't have to deal with that. All right, another question. And this is something else related to car wash. Is it safe for our staff to be around a vehicle being operated by clients? Now, when you are on foot around vehicles operated by members of the general public, my friends, you must remain on guard. My sincere and strong advice, if you are considering greeting people vehicle side, curbside check-in, train your team on a plethora of best practices to stay safe. Verify vehicles are in park, off, or whatever. The general public is very prone to grave error in operating vehicles, especially when they're in an unfamiliar setting or deadly so, if they feel anxious due to perceived pressures like the car behind them. So depending on the structure of how you're trying to do this, just be aware of that. And I'll tell you this too, pet peeve of mine, recreational marijuana. It's now legal in the state of Michigan. I'm not a proponent of this in any context because riding a motorcycle, periodically I smell marijuana being smoked a lot of vehicles down the road. And my son has firsthand witnessed this with a number of people that are going through the car wash. My goodness, if the police officers wanted to run a sting operation there for people that are high and driving, that would be a great spot to set up shop. Man, oh man, very disturbing though. Very disturbing to see that. But that's a fact of the world. The general public, though, makes mistakes in other ways, not just in some bad decision-making there, but look, the stories of mishaps, especially from car washes, you could just Google this. And for us, my son having those stories, some days it's just entertaining little things, but then there's other days where the stories are extremely worrisome. Near misses, close calls. Shoot, I remember one at the car wash down by our shop when I was younger. A young man was pinned between two vehicles because the lady hit the gas instead of the brake and had major knee damage there. It's a terrible case. So be very careful. Be very, very, very careful. All right, let's go back and let's tie this into some of my observations on the general effectiveness of curbside check-ins. Aside from all this safety stuff, we could talk for a while on that. This is my observation. Most shops are already not training their staff for relational interactions. Now, introduce a curbside check-in process that has a digital context to it that puts focus on the vehicle and not a person. All right. Now, this happens at the counter too, folks. This happens at the counter too, where we get too transactional, too tied up into the basic data that we're doing. But when you put a tablet in someone's hands, it becomes more transactional and the screen prompts are often too stringent. Think of it this way. A client starts talking about their symptoms or speaking to the advisor as though they're listening, and the advisor's still on a prompt on the screen where they're entering something more innocuous like miles or the VIN, or they're trying to scan that barcode. And they're not listening to the client that they're standing next to. The client's just watching this individual go around the car for some purpose other than, obviously, a relational purpose. Not there. That individual's likely missing key details, and it doesn't take very many years of experience in this world to understand that when you're speaking to someone and they're not listening to you, clients are very aware of this right away. And so they stop talking and they stand there. And this was exactly my experience, even for a simple maintenance visit on a newer vehicle in the dealership. This is exactly my experience. So when you have compromised your intention by being there for a device and other purposes other than engaging an individual. I'm going to ask again, what's your purpose in this? Is it actually improving the client interaction? And I'm going to ask again on another question here. Is it actually more efficient for the service advisor? Because the primary reason most shops are actually attracted to curbside check-in is to reduce steps. Not always steps out to the vehicle, but it sometimes is an attempt to actually reduce the amount of trips out to the car and just combine and batch some tasks. You got to greet the customer anyway. Well, why don't we just greet them, grab the mileage and actual VIN number anyway? Shoot, people today don't even know what year their vehicle is anymore. So sometimes they give you wrong data at the counter. It solves some problems. It really could. But implemented poorly, that's a very much about us type of a thing. That's a justification for improving our processes, perhaps, but it doesn't actually create better interactions that result in a relational conversation that leaves someone feeling warm and fuzzy and feeling good about their relationship with the individual at this institution. I think that my concern on this is becoming pretty clear. Unless it's to actually improve their perception of us, our understanding of them, and create true interactions that back and forth communication can do to make a relationship better, this is not actually focused on quality at all. We're focused on quantity, how many cars we can process through here more efficiently, not a quality of conversation. I value quality of conversation, as do our loyal listeners on this show. So consider this if you're thinking about implementing curbside check-in. And lastly, I'll mention that environments overall are not always favorable to curbside check-in. Think about it. It's impressive in dealerships because of the place itself, not so much the process, really. Most independent shops have not the budget or the land area to create large pull-in bays that have no lifts and no productive capabilities whatsoever. It's a very expensive, in my opinion, waste of space. Most independent shops in the aftermarket, you're going to be typically in an outdoor environment. I know some of you have climates worse than mine here in Michigan, the Phoenix area. It's just really hot. You're going to need an awning or something here. But here in Michigan, for Pete's sake, it's too cold half the year, wet, rainy, snowy. And the other half of the year, it's hot and humid. Either one of those extremes will leave you more eager to carry your conversation into a more controlled environment indoors. And that's where the dealerships have the advantage again in this, maybe the budget. Is there large space, climate controlled, pull in and you never even have to get wet. You get ushered right into that nice lobby. There's some advantage to that. But if you're not building something that way, I don't think you're going to achieve the same level of impressiveness that the dealerships have. And again, I'm not encouraging you to. It's impressive because of the space. And I guess if you've got the budget and the space, go ahead. But it didn't improve my interaction with the human beings. So I think you start to see where I'm not encouraging curbside check-in outright here. All right, that's a lot of cons. And I don't actually mean to fully discourage this. I just really want you to be very intentional about your reasons for pursuing this sort of thing. When I start hearing shops asking this question, it means something planted that seed that this is a good thing to do. And I think that it's oftentimes, and hey, I work with a software company, sponsored by software companies. Software companies often will introduce things which will seem enticing, but could be a little bit more difficult in practice to achieve. It takes training. It takes purpose. All right. A lot of this is just my opinion. And I am cautioning major investments or changes aimed at curbside check-in without clearly identifying what your purpose is behind it. So the reason is I've actually tried this many times in my career, way before technology ever purported to offer solutions for this. To achieve a check-in process that was more personal and undocked from the counter, that was my goal. All of my efforts resulted in more double entries, slower detail gathering, and less fluid conversations. Now, in full defense, a lot of when I was trying this was actually before 2010. I think it was around 2007 when I was first attempting to, I was using Mitchell 1 still on a laptop, but with wireless internet, which was, I was told later was a no-no back then. And it was one of the early tablets you could kind of write on and sort of had a decent touch screen. Super slow computer. It was not good. I was kept trying to do that heavy computer, trying to talk to customers' vehicle side, and nothing worked good for it. I had to give it up very quickly. Would have been easier pad and paper, truth be told. And that's not necessarily a bad way to do it if you really do want to just greet people at the vehicle and take decent notes, because you can do that freehand and free flowing without the prompts of the screen being too stringent on getting some of that data. So, all right. Now, in conclusion here, I want you to think about the car rental return again and why I've seen more genuinely warm conversations in that short little interaction there. There's two things. One, the transactional stuff is already done. That was handled way up front in what is notably a rough sometimes check-in with car rentals. There was nothing else transactional that had to be done. It's just the sequence of the car being checked back in to that agency. So that's quick and it's easy. And then number two, natural curiosity generates questions in that environment. It's a car rental return environment. If you're returning a rental, do you live in that area? No, you're visiting the area. The people understand that there. And I have had more decent conversations about, yeah, did you get to see anything cool while you're here? Good questions from employees at a car rental place that are just checking in cars. These are not necessarily people who are making a career out of thing. They're people working a job and they are asking really good questions because not necessarily, I know it's not from training all the time. I hope it is, but I know it's not always training in these larger companies that do car rentals. I genuinely believe that these are naturally curious people that just wanted to know if you had a good time there. And I usually will say something about a couple of the sites that I saw or something else. And it's just a decent, quick conversation at the conclusion of a visit that made me feel good about the interaction with that organization. You can't put a value on how important that is, that you walk away feeling good about that interaction. Of course, I also did my four-corner walk around so the car company doesn't screw me, accusing me of damage. They didn't mind that I was doing that during their check-in process, though. Bottom line is this. Walking away from there, feeling good about a conversation with a human being, that is one of the most important factors I feel in my decision to continue to use a certain organization. And it's all great, right, until I have to go use one of those shuttle buses to get back to the airport terminal. That's just madness. Man, I do like the airports that have the rental facilities attached. But that's sort of the point I wanted to make. And that's why I brought the car rental return into this sort of thing. It's like vehicle side, check out. Man, maybe that's where we could create a little bit more of a great interaction at the conclusion of the visit. We talk a lot about the conclusion of the visit. There's vehicle checklists and various things that I talk about. But I think that checking in vehicle side still offers no solutions to the typical challenges that we face during the check-in process. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps your shop has experienced something on this a little different. Maybe you call it something other than curbside check-in. If you have something to add on this topic, boy, I would love to talk about it with you. And if you're curious to hear more on this or my opinion on some of this too, or just get more at it, please reach out to us here at the show. speakup@craigoneal.net. That's O'Neill with two L's. I'd love to hear anything that you're interested in talking about on this. But very specifically, if you are successful with this or if you've tried and failed, I would really like to hear your stories and we can build out some future talks on this. I think there's going to be plenty more in the future on this sort of a topic. And I think there is going to be a lot of software platforms leveraging other tools with AI to try to make this a little bit more seamless and better. And I think, yes, there are some technological solutions to it that can. I still hope you're going to be focusing on the conversation, not just the sequence, the place, the building, all these other things. It's about the person that's bringing the car in, and you have to succeed in making them your number one priority. So, hey, remember, there are other shows here on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We do hope you will listen up to those shows as well, beginning with Remarkable Results Radio, Carm Capriato. He started all of this with podcasting in the industry, one of the pioneers there. Fantastic show, wonderful guest. There's been some recent episodes on some topics semi-related to this as well. So please check that out. Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow. Wonderful show. I will highly recommend you listen to his recent episodes featuring John Thornton, part one and part two. If you have a longer drive ahead or something else you're listening to the podcast, it is worth listening to those. I think it's worth noting he did a great job letting John talk about some of his presentation best practices in part one and part two. So very worth listening to. John is a great presenter. Then we have Business by the Numbers. Hunt Demers was a recent guest here. Wonderful guy. Check that out. Numbers are not my thing. They're his thing. Brian and Kim Walker also have the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. And then there's the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. please check out those shows, folks. And as you consider this curbside topic, I hope we've given you plenty of things to discuss with your team on trying to measure if it's really something that you want to go for, or if just improving your existing check-in process might bring you a little bit more value to those relational conversations. So thank you for joining us today. Now, please get out there, listen up, speak up, and hey, maybe curbside check out. Thanks.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.